The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. By the way, one of the best op-ed pieces to be written this past weekend is from a former advisor to President Clinton.
That'd be Bill, not Hillary.
Yes.
Because she was never president. She just pretended to be.
From 95 to 2000, Mark Penn.
Yeah.
Probably the best put together piece. I want to read a couple of paragraphs off it because you and I were just discussing it during the top of the hour. The deep state is in a deep state of depression with little time left before the Justice Department Inspector General's report becomes public. And with special counsel Robert Mueller having failed to bring down Donald Trump after a year of trying, they know a reckoning is coming. At this point, there is little doubt that the highest echelons of the FBI and the Justice Department broke their own rules to end the Hillary Clinton matter. But we can expect the Inspector General to document what was done, or more poignantly so, not done. It is hard to see how a year-long investigation of this won't come down hard on former FBI Director James Comey and perhaps even former Attorney General Loretta Lynch. With this report on its way and congressional investigators beginning to zero in on the lack of hard, verified evidence for starting the Trump probe, current and former intelligence and Justice Department officials are dumping everything they can to save their reputations. It is backfiring. They started by telling the story of Alexander Downer, an Australian diplomat, as having remembered a bar conversation with George Papadopoulos, a foreign policy advisor to the Trump campaign. But how did the FBI know that they should talk to him?
Right.
That's left out of the narrative. Downer's signature appears on a $25 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation. You don't need much imagination to figure out that he was close to the Clinton Foundation operatives who relayed the information to the State Department, which then called the FBI to complete the loop. This wasn't intelligence. It was likely opposition research from the start. In no way would a fourth-handed report from a Maltese professor justify wholesale targeting of four or five members of the Trump campaign. It took Christopher Steele, and this is really important how he writes this, it took Christopher Steele, with his funding concealed through false campaign filings, to be incredibly successful at creating a vast echo chamber around his unverified, fanciful dossier, bouncing it back and forth between the press and the FBI, so it appeared that there were multiple sources all coming to the same conclusion.
Whoa.
Yeah. And not that we didn't know that, it's just the way that he writes it in that paragraph.
I think what he cracks open there, remember what it was, we heard that. When the whole, you know, Russians interfered, well, it's now across the board. Even Sessions was saying that in front of the Senate. That the agencies, they all believe that this. But if you're building this kind of masterful plan, then you need to look like the world is in agreement on it, that it's verified, especially when it is something like the dossier, which we now know was unverified.
But it was great, by the way, you were bouncing it back and forth between the press and the FBI, so you basically created an echo chamber, and
exactly.
It appeared that there were multiple sources, and there wasn't.
Right.
It all went back to the dossier. It goes, time and time again, investigators came up empty. Even several sting operations with the FBI spy we just learned about failed to produce a DeLorean-like video with cash on the table. But rather than close the probe, the deep state just expanded it. All they had were a few isolated contacts with Russians and absolutely nothing relating to Trump himself, yet they pressed forward. Egged on by Steele, they simply believed Trump and his team must be dirty. They just needed to dig deep enough.
Wow.
Perhaps the murkiest event in the timeline is Rod Rosenstein's appointment of a special prosecutor after he personally recommended Comey's firing in blistering terms. Mm. With Attorney General Jeff Sessions shoved out of the way, Rosenstein and Mueller then ignored their own conflicts and took charge anyway. Rosenstein is a fact witness, and Mueller is a friend of Comey's, disqualifying them both. Flush with 16 prosecutors, including a former lawyer for the Clinton Foundation and an undisclosed budget, the Mueller investigation has been a scorched-earth effort to investigate the entirety of the Trump campaign, Trump business dealings, the entire administration, and now, if it was not Russia, maybe it's some other country. The president's earlier legal team was naive in believing that when Mueller found nothing, he would just end it. Instead, the less investigators found, the more determined and expansive they became. This president and his team now are on a better road to put appropriate limits on all of this. This process must be stopped, preferably long before a vote in the Senate. Rather than a fair, limited, and impartial investigation, the Mueller investigation became a partisan, open-ended inquisition that by its precedent is a threat to those who ever want to participate in a national campaign or an administration again. Its prosecutions have all been principally to pressure witnesses with unrelated charges and threats to family or just for a public relations effect, like the indictment of Russian internet trolls. Unfortunately, just like the doomsday machine in Dr. Strangelove that was supposed to save the world but instead destroy it, the Mueller investigation comes with no off switch. You can't fire Mueller. He needs to be defeated, like Ken Starr, the independent counsel who investigated President Clinton. Remember, this is Mark Penn.
Mm-hmm.
Finding the off switch will not be easy. Step one here is for the Justice Department Inspector General report to knock Comey out of the witness box. Next, the full origins of the investigation and its lack of any real intelligence need to come out in the open. The Attorney General, himself a target of a secret investigation, needs to take back his Justice Department. Sessions needs to act quickly along with U.S. Attorney John Huber, appointed to conduct an internal review of the FBI on the Comey and McCain matters following the Inspector General report, and then announce an expanded probe into other abuses of power. The president's lawyers need to extend their new aggressiveness from words to actions, filing complaints with Justice Department Office of Professional Responsibility on the failure of Mueller and Rosenstein to recuse themselves, and going into court to question the tactics of the special counsel from selective prosecutions on unrelated matters, illegally seizing Government Services Administration emails, covering up phone text of FBI officials Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and operating without a scope approved by the Attorney General. The regulations call for the Attorney General to recuse himself from the investigation, but appear to leave himself responsible for the scope. The final stopper may be the president himself offering 2 hours of testimony, perhaps even televised live from the White House. The last time America became obsessed with Russian influence in America was the McCarthy hearings in the 1950s. Those ended only when Senator Joseph McCarthy attacked an associate of the U.S. Army Counsel, Joseph Welch, and Welch famously responded, "Sir, have you no decency? In this case, virtually every associate and family members of the president has been subjected to smears conveniently leaked to the press." Stopping Mueller isn't about one president or one party. It's about all presidents and all parties. It's about cleaning out and reforming the deep state so that our intelligence operations are never used against opposing campaigns without the firmest of evidence. It's about people letting people work for campaigns and administrations without needing legal defense funds. It's about relying on our elections to decide our differences. That's Mark Penn, former advisor to President Clinton.
Yeah. Wow.
I know it got a little long, but I thought it was worth reading the entire thing because it's one of the best articles that has basically summarized. And this just came out, you know, late last night,
mm-hmm.
about 8 o'clock last night, I believe. And it just, you know, really encompasses everything that we have talked about in a few paragraphs. And it's very, very important to do that and explain it to the American people, because maybe it's because of the royal wedding, maybe it's because the media just doesn't want to cover it. But the fact that we now know that there was a spy in the Trump campaign is unbelievably huge news, unprecedented political news. in the 40 years that I've been covering politics.
And I think the president may have detected that there was a lack of coverage in it. So that I think his tweets on Sunday, you know, demanding that the Department of Justice look into this.
And they are.
And then they responded was, I think, clearly calculated to make sure that the media was going to cover it. Because he can tweet about anything and then they're going to cover it all day long. How do you not cover something this huge? We can talk about a number of things in the past that have been completely overblown, whether it comes to tweets or anything else in this current White House. But this deserves the attention, the full attention. And by the way, regardless of how it falls out, but now more and more, it's looking like the kind of abuse of power that is extremely dangerous. If they're willing to go after a party's nominee, if they're willing, and then further go after a president after he wins, then who won't they go after? If they feel that there is any slightest bit of political motivation, what do we know? We know Peter Strzok is an activist that is still employed by the FBI.
Well, you know, it's funny because I had the discussion when I saw my dad last week, and you know, we were talking about, you know, law enforcement, and somebody said, "Well, they go after them. Well, they always go after the little guy." And I said, "Not in this case. They're willing to go after the big guy."
Mm-hmm.
Now it's gotten to the point. Not just the little guy. Let's go. And if they can go after the big guy and successfully do it and be entrenched in the federal government and go after a legit election of a president and try everything to smear the outcome of that election with innuendo and bad applications for secret warrants with the secret court that's supposed to be for terrorism. If they can put a spy into an opposition campaign without even knowing what the crime is, if the swamp, if you wish to call it, if the bureaucratic swamp has gotten so big where they actually believe that they themselves can either set up a candidate, attempt to set up a candidate, or use the power in their means, or abuse the power in their means to attempt to discredit a legitimate election in the United States, the American public needs to know about it. And whatever laws were broken need to be brought out to the public. My point is, as I said earlier, my question would be for Democrats. Are Democrats okay with abuse of power in government as long as it's a Republican?
Right.
They've been really quiet on this. There seems to be nobody upset about this on the left. Mark Penn.
Right.
Mark Penn brought it up. It shows they understand the seriousness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they willing to let it go?
Well, because how far do you go to defend these kind of actions? Because if you defend these actions here, you can't possibly, then if it happens to your side, you can't possibly condemn the actions then. We condemn them regardless of who's responsible. If it's a gross abuse of power, people need to be brought to justice. Plain and simple. There's no way around that. We start with the questions, and the question being, where did this all begin? And nobody has answered that. And why is it that that didn't come out first? With all of these friendly leaks along the way to the liberal media, all these things that were damaging to the Trump administration, that were leaked to the liberal media, why didn't we learn about how this all began? Even if we didn't learn the specific names, I mean, if it was justified, there should be no problem at all in divulging this information.
Right.
If no laws were broken, if there was no abuse of power, then why hasn't it been leaked? That would be the basis and very foundation for all of this, yet that basis has changed
right.
and moved a couple of times.
And here's the point we have to our Democrat friends out there. If Trump is guilty, then release all the investigative stuff.
If you believe that,
release it.
The media believes that.
Right.
Why are they trying to defend the actions of the FBI when the questions haven't been answered? Mm-hmm. The very basic questions haven't been answered yet.
Right.
Why aren't they asking them? That would help prove the case, would it not? If he or someone in his campaign is guilty, then why try to cover it?
Right. Anyone answer that one? You really can't.
No, you can't.
866-90-RED-EYE.
In 2017, 41.4% of road check violations were a result of issues related to vehicle brake systems. Not only is it important to keep your brake system in tip-top shape to avoid being placed out of service, but it's necessary in order to keep your vehicle running at optimal performance. Here's a tip to keep your brake system in the best shape possible. Repair any audible air leaks. Any air leak discovered during a roadside inspection is likely to put you out of service. These air leaks should be looked at by a certified technician. Some low, audible air leaks often turn into major air leaks, but are muffled by a nearby airline or overlooked by the truck's frame. The 2018 CVSA International Road Check is June 5th through the 7th, so be sure to get inspected today.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
He's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm sorry. I'm just reading Mitch Album from our great station in Detroit.
But WJR. Yeah.
Also works for the Detroit Free Press.
And
I will admit, I like Mitch. Occasionally, I've got on his case when he delves into politics, and I believe he's wrong.
He's a great guy.
But this one's just great here.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love his books.
Yeah.
Just love his books.
Yeah. Terrific writer.
Terrific. Why are Americans so wild about a royal wedding? goes through the past. He goes, for one thing, it seems odd that a country forged by revolting against the British monarchy still gets giddy when the royal bloodline is furthered.
Great point.
Well, that goes right back to the meme. Right. I stopped caring about royal weddings in 1776.
That's right. Yeah.
And he goes through the whole backdrop of the fam. And then there's the backdrop of the family, which does not suggest happy matrimony. And then he goes through
all of those scandals.
You know, all this marry a prince. And, you know, I think I told you that yesterday that when I saw that one tweet that I sent to some conservative women friends of mine who said, this one woman who said, I'm 37 and I was only married for a short time, maybe like Meghan Markle. And this gives me hope that I can find my prince. Now, I see that and I want to post the emoji. You ever see the emoji of the smiley face with the guy with the smiley face throwing up?
Yeah.
And it's extremely effective, that emoji. That's how I felt when I read that one.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And I sit there and I said, okay, people can get their entertainment anytime they want, but this is actually real life going on here with real people in a monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
People that are famous for nothing.
That's right.
Not for what they accomplish. And so for me, I look at it as completely stupid. Now, I said earlier before, if I have nothing good to say, I should just shut my mouth, and then I realize I'm a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry. I just don't get it.
Yeah,
I should go through some of the threads that I was reading.
Right.
I don't want to publicly embarrass any of my Facebook friends, all women, and what they no, one guy,
okay,
was posting, and it was just like, please stop it.
They were what, live commenting on it?
The minutia of it.
Yeah,
and the colorful stuff and this and then. Oh, what was said at this point, and then when he looked at her, and then... Now, the good memes I like was the Queen, when she had, like, looking at Meghan, and she didn't seem to be pleased at all.
Had a very stoic look on her face. Yeah,
That was good, but I just... I'm with Mitch. I don't get it either.
Mm.
I don't get the fascination with it at all.
trying to save society. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, I still wonder, why is Donna Brazile still on the Sunday morning news shows talking about Russian collusion and honest elections?
I don't know.
I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I just went through, just saw another piece of video that she was on. I just said, it's like you can do anything.
No, left you really can. Right. You can, and you keep all credibility and standing.
She slipped Clinton the question. She cheated.
Yes. During a debate.
Right. Where she had to leave CNN because of it.
Right.
Why is she somebody you would go to? Oh, because she's an expertise?
Cheating?
I'm an expert in cheating in an election,
yes.
So
yeah.
I should be the voice of authority.
If anybody knows about rigging elections, I do.
I just shake my head. Let's head right back to you with the developments over the weekend, spying the Trump campaign and more. Let us go to Daniel in California. Daniel, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy listening to y'all. You guys are funny and informative at the same time.
Thanks.
Two points I wanted to make. Number one, I'm a patriot, and I love this country with all my heart. And what I see by the FBI and the government in general is a disgrace. But the two points I wanted to make is that the Page and Strzok text, one of the key texts that a lot of people don't pay attention to is the insurance policy. And I think that insurance policy is what is going on right now. And that this all came from the top of the government, and I'm talking about Obama. From him all the way down, and this is what we're dealing with. And the Mueller investigation in general is a hoax, and Trump should fire all of them, including Rosenstein and Sessions, together. And that's pretty much what I got to say.
All right. I mean, I don't know if it goes up to the top.
No.
That question has been asked, was asked over the weekend. What did Obama know? And yes, we would all like to know that, and we hope the investigation gets up to that point. And if you keep going up and finding out, okay, who knew this, who knew that, who knew this, who knew that, who was talking about the fact that in March of 2016 is when Comey told the Justice Department, when the Justice Department was told what was going on at that particular point. Well, in March of 2016 to July of 2016, we know all the things that went on from that particular point. And the question was, well, if the FBI director knew, if the attorney general knew, did the president know at that particular point? And then what did the president know?
Right.
And yeah, that's a legit question to ask. We know it went up in high levels of the Obama administration. Who knew what and when?
Mm-hmm.
And approved what and when? Those questions are still to be answered.
So. Yeah, and we know. Look, we know the tone being set by any administration is going to work its way. That tone is going to be set and work its way through the ranks at some level. Not always with every person in any given agency or bureaucracy, but it does happen. We did see that with the IRS. The whole Lois Lerner thing and how members of the Tea Party were singled out. We know that tone that was set. And remember that story. Oh, it was just two rogue agents. Nope. You know, that comes down to, and we said at that time when that narrative was being put out there, well, if that's the case, the question is, did they believe that that was okay? That was the tone to be set? We don't know exactly. We know Strzok. And his motivation. He wrote about that extensively. And now we can read that book, which is compiled by a number of text messages. We know he was an activist. What was known by any given person in authority? That's the question.
Well,
because some person in authority at a high level determined that this was going to take place.
And you and I have asked this question for a long, long time. How much of it was conspiracy and how much of it was culture?
Right.
How much of it of the entrenched bureaucrats, you know, in the Justice Department and the FBI became part of not just a conspiracy, but more of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because it's part of the culture. You and I talked about, for example, and that's why when you brought up the IRS, you know, was that a conspiracy or was that just the culture? Mm-hmm. We just know that we can do this. Everybody does it. Mm-hmm. We don't like this, therefore we all do it. Not that there's a meeting that's planned and they all not that there aren't some meetings planned, but that the whole thing across the board did not start with the big meeting, the whole conspiracy with its tentacles, that part of it might have been a conspiracy, but the other part of it was just culture where people go along with it because that's the culture. We all hated Trump. Whether they were Republicans in there or Democrats in the bureaucracy, these are people that hated Trump. That's why we had a caller the other day. Well, what if the spy is a Republican? We said, that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It's got no bearing at all.
Anybody responsible for abuse of power, I don't care how this falls on who, which gets back, you know, and makes me so curious about why people step out to defend others when those people who are defending them aren't guilty of any wrongdoing. You know, I don't defend anyone of any wrongdoing. That is on them. Doesn't matter how this falls. The American people need the truth. And it's time to end the nonsense. It's time to expose the entire truth.
Let's go to Tim in Ohio. Tim, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys. Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've listened to you guys for a long time, and you guys are great. You don't pull any punches.
Thanks.
My question, I got a question and an opinion. My question is, when this is all over and done with, when Trump's team is exonerated, they say, okay, you've done no wrongdoing, where are the dominoes going to start falling? Myself, I think it's going to be with the DNC from the top right on down. They're going to start, you know, finger pointing at each other. I know this one's more to blame than I am, and they are going to implode, basically.
Well, again, I don't see the major law, you know, if there's possible law breaking, the law breaking in the DNC, if you look at the money that was funneled through, would be a campaign violation. That would be a fine. Nobody's going to jail for that. That's already being, from what I know, investigated. If the Hillary campaign funneled the money through, again, the only thing would be a campaign money violation. That's not the major crimes you're concerned with.
Unless there's wire fraud that was also involved
in a
transaction.
Exactly. Right. I mean, because that's opposition research. As I said earlier, well, we could get, any of us could go to France to get dirt on the next candidate, and we're actually not breaking a law unless we're part of the campaign and we're paying somebody for that information who is a foreign national. Then at that point, you're breaking campaign finance laws, but do you go to jail for that, or is that a fine? The big wrongdoing is that if there's what we can see wrongdoing is the FBI and the Department of Justice and the intelligence agencies. That's where the possible seriousness really is. That's what you really have to clear out. Political parties are going to be political parties, and they're all going to gather opposition research and question everyone. As we have always said, because there will be people that come to us, Democrats, that will call us and say, well, the Democrats didn't do anything wrong. And we said, we didn't say they committed a crime there except for campaign finance violations. What we said was what they accused the Trump administration of doing, which was colluding with the Russians to change the outcome of the election, is precisely what they did by funneling the money, which eventually got to Christopher Steele, which would be the campaign violation, to get salacious information from the Russians, to use it to destroy the Trump campaign. That's your claim, that they were attempting to do something. You're not even definitive as to what they did. We can tell you what the Democrats did, but somehow it was Trump colluding with the Russians to change the outcome of the election. They just have a still today, after 2 years of investigation with the FBI and Mueller, they just have a general, you know, allegation still. And so we're saying by their standard, the Democrats are the ones that committed collusion. The law breaking really is what they did with that information, whether they use that information, the FBI and the Justice Department, to obtain a FISA warrant when the judge would not have given the FISA warrant if he knew it was opposition research and not intelligence.
Right.
It's specifically how it was sold.
Yep.
And then the other one is having a spy inside the Trump campaign. What started that investigation?
Mm-hmm.
And what rules and regulations were laws were possibly broken in that is what you're looking for.
Yep.
The DNC doesn't really, they're a mess anyway
No. I mean, there's been a turnover there since the election.
Yeah, you have Perez and Ellison in there now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
so
right.
That's not going to happen there. I mean, the organization may have to pay the fine for what others in the organization did in the past. But beyond that fine, again, a wire fraud would go down even to the individual, not necessarily the organization, if there was wire fraud involved in getting that money to eventually Christopher Steele. You know, again, that's a huge if. So all of this remains to be seen, which is why we have to have the truth, why the American people should see everything in this entire equation. But we start with the beginning. How did this entire thing start? How do you get to a point where the FBI deems it necessary to have a spy in the Trump campaign?
And then to look at it just with a different slant, which Eric brought up earlier in the show, if Democrats all want to get Trump for colluding with the Russians because they're still talking about it, then the first thing you would want is all the information as to how the investigation began. Why are Democrats trying to hide it? Why is the FBI trying to hide it? Why is the Justice Department trying to hide it? If you've got the information, basically, well, we want the information about why you started going after Trump.
Sure. In fact, if you're a Democrat, if you're one of those liberals who believes that Trump or the campaign or somebody in his campaign was guilty, that they're still guilty today, if you have no doubt, great. We've set the table. Now we know they have a FBI, you call them informant. FBI informants in. Okay, what do we do next? Now, let's prove why this all began. Let's show the basis for this so that we can justify all this and prove to the world that they're guilty. Why aren't you screaming that? Why aren't you from the highest mountaintop screaming that?
Now that, you know, we saw the New York Times, the Washington Post, friendly media leak so much information out about the alleged source, informant, spy, whatever you choose to call the person who was spying on the Trump campaign. And this screaming at the same time that it was obvious the New York Times and the Washington Post are attempting to get somebody out there to say this guy's name by giving so much information out that's being leaked to them by somebody friendly with somebody in government to leak out all this information. At the same time, Democrats are screaming, we cannot allow this to happen. The Justice Department and FBI, we cannot allow this to happen. This will damage national security. Now the name's out there. Nobody's screaming that this is going to harm national security.
Nope.
Is anybody?
Nope.
Stefan Halper's name's out there, and I didn't hear a word yesterday or Saturday.
No.
That our national security has somehow been, or our safety is somehow imperiled now because that name is out.
No.
So they were lying about that too?
Yep.
So if they're lying consistently about why they can't release the information, Democrats should be upset about this because their information will lead you to getting to Donald Trump.
Well, again, all of the work that they have done, all the stories that they have done on this, in the liberal media, and this is the thing that wasn't, I mean, this would, the basis for it all should never change. It should be the one constant. Like the break-in at the Watergate.
Right.
It started with that. Then we learned, boom, 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 down, and all the dominoes fell. Where did this one begin?
It's all
somebody point to the beginning.
Yeah. Because it keeps shifting.
Well, the Australian diplomat? Well, wait a minute. What? Well, why would they know about that?
Yeah. How would they know about that? As Mark Penn asked.
Right.
How would they know about that?
It doesn't make sense.
Right. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So we're in for an interesting week. It's going to be fascinating to see where this leads. Remember, we're just now the special counsel, but last week,
mm-hmm.
Not special counsel, the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, basically submitted, you know, he's done with this Hillary investigation.
Right.
We could be 2 weeks from that coming out.
Right, right. Kimberly Strassel, over the week, I think actually it was Friday maybe that she put it out, Thursday or Friday that she put out, keep in mind that the IG report is about the FBI investigation into the Hillary email thing. But you and I added to that what it could give us insight, what might relate in terms of the whole Russia investigation and collusion Mueller thing, is that what was the culture there at the FBI,
yes,
under
mm-hmm.
Comey,
right,
and under Loretta Lynch? Will it tell us anything about that?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Here's the tweet from yesterday. I hereby demand, and will do so officially tomorrow, that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the FBI Department of Justice infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes, and if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration. And he did. And
they did.
They did. Well, he didn't actually officially do it yet.
No, he didn't. I guess he didn't have to. This was Sunday.
Right, this was Sunday.
And then they responded, Department of Justice, saying they've requested the Inspector General to look into this to see if anybody acted inappropriately along the way. Look, we know that, I mean, there's nobody disputing whether or not the FBI had somebody in place there, right? Had somebody spying on the Trump campaign. The question is, was there any illegal or inappropriate behavior? And the Inspector General will issue a report on that. And they will, you had Rosenstein even issuing a bit of a response saying, you know, that this can't happen. So if there's any wrongdoing, I'm paraphrasing his comments, if there's any wrongdoing, the American people need to know about it.
The department has asked the Inspector General to expand the ongoing review of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act application process to include determining whether there was any impropriety or political motivation in how the FBI conducted its counterintelligence investigation of persons suspected of involvement with the Russian agents who interfered with the 2016 presidential election.
Oh, wow.
As always, the Inspector General will consult with the appropriate U.S. attorney if there is any evidence of potential criminal conduct, the Department of Justice spokesperson told Fox News yesterday.
Okay, so here's my question. When all this was kind of playing out on Sunday and Sunday evening, getting ready for our show, my question is, as we review the FISA court and the warrant application process, remember what was going on. What did we learn about the former administration that they were reprimanded by the FISA courts, saying you've acted inappropriately, that it goes back to 2011. My question is, are we pulling that bottom string on the sweater here? Would the Inspector General, I know that the IG is given, you know, a specific, set of rules or parameters, I guess, in any given inspection. Well, but if it keeps leading back, further back, further back, further back, because what we know is on October 26, 2016, the Obama Justice Department basically going to the FISA court saying, oh, yeah, remember what you told us to do back in 2011? And not only did we not do that, we kind of did more of it. Our bad. Just days before the election. And that's, by the way, documented. Now, what we don't know is what did the FISA court have a problem with? What were they reprimanding the Obama administration for? It could be a number of things. Maybe it's a procedural issue or set of procedural issues. Does it rise to the level of breaking the law, of violating anyone's rights, would be the question.
Well, and the other point would be they came out with their final report in late April of 2017 to the Obama, you know, executive branch, telling them in October of 2016, nah, we didn't follow the agreement that we said we were going to follow back in 2012. Mm-hmm. We really didn't follow it. You and I have always asked the question, did that include the Carter Page warrant?
Right.
And we don't know.
We don't, because the Carter Page warrant, in fact, if you go back to that, the Carter Page warrant was actually issued days before that. Now, the first application for a warrant on Carter Page took place months before that.
Let me ask you this, too. You and I have gone through the process of what Mueller should be looking at. We've mm-hmm. always stated that just as an investigator, if you look at it, Mueller, the first thing he should have gone for is the FISA application, because
right.
that shows you the evidence against Trump.
Right.
Well, if you go there, you can see a bunch of whether there was possible wrongdoing in the FISA application process. But then that would take you all the way through the Russian collusion of the DNC and the Hillary campaign. And that would could lead you, because remember, it's also any wrongdoing that is found all the way through there.
Right.
So if campaign violations with Stormy Daniels are important, campaign violations of the Hillary campaign and the DNC in paying Christopher Steele, a foreign national that you can't use campaign funds for, would also be something that he would look into, because naturally it would lead him there. We haven't heard anything about Mueller going in that direction. Here's another question. Did Mueller ever talk to and interview Stefan Halper, the spy?
That's a great question.
The alleged spy?
That's a great question.
And if not, why not?
Because if we're talking about an important source, and as the yes. liberal media wants you to believe, no, that was on the up and up. That was just an informant. That would be a very important source of information. In fact, should be the critical source of information. That's a great question. Has he been interviewed by Mueller?
The response from Rosenstein, Deputy Attorney General, quote, if anyone did infiltrate or surveil participants in a presidential campaign for inappropriate purposes, we need to know about it and take the appropriate action. End of quote.
Yeah, there you go. Well, first of all, we should acknowledge that what a lot of people who support the current president have been calling for seems to be happening now. We have to assume or I guess cross our fingers and hope that it's going to be a thorough investigation. I suspect that the inspector general's office will do nothing less than a thorough investigation. The question is, the inspector general. We've had trouble with oversight committees getting access to documents. The IG is essentially the watchdog for the Department of Justice. So will the IG get access to everything?
That's the thing with the IG. You can't make the same argument that they make with Congress.
Exactly.
And so he really does get everything.
Remember, what
was missing? What was the House Intelligence Committee about a month or two ago missing? The Strzok emails.
Yeah, right.
It was the inspector general that found him for him and made sure that they got it.
Right.
Because he had them.
I guess my question would be, would anybody be foolish enough to try and because the only way you could do it is to essentially destroy documents. In terms of keeping anything from the IG, you just can't do that. It's not the inspector general's office is going to have access to everything. Which, and here's my question, too. how does that play into the request by Devin Nunes? Because Devin Nunes was on TV over the weekend, and after two meetings with the Department of Justice, he says he's done. He doesn't want to meet with them anymore until he gets those documents. So if the Department of Justice has now ordered the Inspector General to expand its investigation into the FISA courts and the issuance of FISA warrants, then is it not going to make it easier for Devin Nunes to get those documents? I mean, I don't know.
Not necessarily, because the Inspector General could make sure that he gets some of the documents, as they did with the Strzok missing Strzok page emails.
Which is my point,
I don't know legally how the Inspector General did that, or whether he got permission of the executive branch to do that. See, they can't use "you're a different branch than ours, and we get to protect it from, you know, the branch." They can't claim
the
Justice Department can't claim executive branch privilege, as they have with some of the secrets already that they won't share with it. They say you're a different branch of government. They can't use the same argument against Inspector General. He's part of their branch.
Exactly. And so my question is, knowing the Inspector General certainly knows in this case, if you're talking about a watchdog, knows full well the purpose and the role and the authority of the House Intel Committee. So is this a break for Nunes in that regard? Because Nunes's last comments were before the Department of Justice asked the Inspector General to expand this and move in this direction. So I would love to hear from Devin Nunes or anyone else that could tell us whether this would give him greater ability to get those documents.
Remember, they were having productive meetings. Apparently, they weren't productive.
Apparently, they weren't.
We had asked that question.
Because it's so bogus. What are you talking about, meetings? No meetings. It's real simple. They get to see it. They have the clearance to see it. They are the people's eyes. While the people don't get to see everything because we don't have that clearance, we are protected by people with that clearance on oversight committees, including, and in this case especially, the House Intel Committee.
Little disclaimer here for anybody who doesn't understand the three branches of government and the separation of powers. You may not, under a very small portion of our audience, the majority of our audience understands exactly what's going on. But it's very, we must always, when we talk about things like this, bring up the fact that in order to understand this, you must understand the three branches of government.
Right.
Which the majority of Americans don't, so.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that made me, this started a couple of years ago when I saw the first one and we were talking about it, and I just said, we're wasting our time.
Exactly. forget about it.
We're talking about all these things.
How about those Kardashians?
And this branch of government and that branch of government. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did you see the royal wedding?
We got branches of government.
Yeah. No, I think it's because so many things moved. I wondered when the president tweeted on Sunday, I wondered, okay, is it going to stop there? Now, the media, of course, jumps on it, right? It's a story every time he tweets. I think there's definitely a healthy amount of logic to the theory that I have, that he understood this was not getting the play in the media that it deserved. And I think also, and rightly so, he's concerned about this. So demanding that the Department of Justice do something, and the Department of Justice simply handing it over to the Inspector General and saying, you got to see if any wrongdoing was done here. I guess that was what was surprising.
How quick it happened?
Is that how all three of those events, from the president to the DOJ response, you know, that right there, because as you said, he said he was going to officially announce it this morning. He just tweeted it, and the Department of Justice has already moved.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
And because what have we seen in the past with whatever action by this president or request or demand. I mean, it's like a couple of days where we got to go and everybody's got to go back and, well, does he have the authority? Well, does, because that's what I was looking for. You know, and then I'm waiting for a judge in Hawaii to come in and say, no, you can't do that. You know what I mean? And seriously, we're at the Ninth Circuit.
Judge in Hawaii. Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait, hold it. hold it, Deputy Attorney General. You can't appoint.
Yes, exactly.
You can't appoint a special prosecutor.
That's right.
Me, you can't appoint the Inspector General to do that.
That's right.
Sorry, you're a judge. You don't get to tell me to do
exactly.
it in my own department.
Because I was waiting for that. I was waiting for something. But it's the insanity that we have seen during this presidency played out over and over again to the nth degree. But instead, what we got was the Department of Justice responding to it. Not saying, look, this, it's like we always say about Election Day, it's just draft day. We don't know if the team's actually going to win. They seem to have, they seem to be moving in the right direction. But we'll see if they actually get to the bottom of this. I suspect eventually they will.
Trade with China. Some good news and still some questions. Coming up, 866-90-RED-EYE.
USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service officials are among those at a Southern California backyard exhibition chicken premise investigating a confirmed case of virulent Newcastle disease.
We're investigating as we go along. It's very early in the investigation, trying to identify any other birds that may have been in contact with these birds, try to limit the spread of this disease to the best of our ability.
APHIS Associate Deputy Administrator Burke Healy says VND does not pose either a human health risk or a food safety concern, but this virus can spread rapidly among poultry and birds, and in unvaccinated birds is 100% fatal. He emphasizes the importance of poultry owners, no matter the size of their flocks or operations, to take proper biosecurity measures.
The primary steps as far as biosecurity is keeping it clean and don't bring it home.
This is the first reported case of what is also known as exotic Newcastle disease in the U.S. since an outbreak occurred in California in 2003. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. So on China,
right.
We don't know what the deal is because nobody knows what the actual deal is going to be. But they've dropped all the tariff talk, which is good. Right, that's the good.
Yeah.
All the tariff talk has been dropped.
Trade war is on hold.
I mean, the trade war with China is now on hold. I mean, it went back and forth where you first heard. I mean, even I think Kudlow said it on. I don't even know the timeline. I know Kudlow said it was going to be $200 billion the Chinese were going to buy more in goods and services from the U.S. We were somehow going to take the trade deficit down $200 billion. Well, then that was said, well, they didn't act. Well, they said that. Well, they didn't say that. Well, it's going to be some amount, but we're not sure what the amount is going to be. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it ain't over till it's over. I mean, until there's... some kind of real agreement in place. So,
look, one of the things that, you know, we're going into a midterms here and the economy is very, very important. So
sure.
With the NAFTA and not being able to come to a NAFTA agreement with what's going on with China right now, the last thing, and it looks like the president's been convinced, the last thing you want right now is a trade war.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to get through your agenda, you need the House. You need to keep the economy going. You can't get into a trade war right now.
Campaign, campaign, campaign. And then you can, you know, work on your agenda once that campaigning is done. You know, because you may have to ramp it up if they lose the House in November, you may have to ramp it up and get it done in just a few weeks. But there's your answer. For Omnitracs, here's your forecast.
You may recall last Monday I had mentioned that for the week ahead we would see 3 to 5 inches of rain for locations in the northeast, east, and south. And we're going to repeat that forecast for the week ahead. Another 3 to 5, possibly 6 inches of rain for many of those areas that saw that amount last week. We'll also see the central plains of Nebraska and Kansas stay wet this week with upwards of 4 to 5 inches of rain. The dry areas continue to be most of California, the desert southwest, and Texas without a lot of rain for the week ahead. Surprisingly, there has been a lot of progress this week in corn planting. Of the 18 states that report, 62% of the corn crop is planted. The average for this time of year, 63%. Temperatures today, 90s in the desert southwest and southern plains, 80s on the eastern seaboard, 92 in Vegas, 70s for the west coast, 58 in Chicago. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Scare people. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. All right, before we get to our audio cut of the day, which is more of a fun one for me, I could just see that scenario happening of this, but just in a moment. But one thing I wanted to bring up here is with the alleged spy now. In the Trump campaign, going to be investigated by the Justice Department and the Inspector General's office. Here's the one question that I have, Eric, and it's more set of questions, and I was just going over this with you during our bottom of the hour break. What I don't understand, this is always something from an investigator's point of view that I've never understood about any of this. Is the FBI knew that Carter Page and George Papadopoulos were on the lower rungs of the campaign. They weren't major players within the campaign. And I've always made this analysis. It's almost as if, remember the savings and loan crisis? When the savings and loan crisis was going on and being investigated by federal investigators, that they were talking to the tellers and not the people in the upper management. That's what it always reminded me of here. And so I've always wondered that throughout this entire process, as Mark Penn said, the former Clinton advisor in his column that we read earlier, that it seemed like with the whole Steele dossier, they were trying basically to have an echo chamber that was screaming collusion back and forth and making it seem like they had a ton of sources, but they actually had nothing of substance. There was nothing actually there about Page. In fact, he's never been indicted for anything. Mm-hmm. So there was this echo chamber going on. And so I really wonder that, I've wondered up until this point, and I'll tell you why until this point in just a moment, but I've wondered to this point, was the FBI that stupid? I mean, come on. The Papadopoulos and Page were not at all players in the Trump campaign. So why the focus on them? Because they were looking to create an echo chamber? Now, the only thing that made me say, okay, they knew there was no substance in the beginning and it was political. It was to try to take down the Trump campaign and then the legitimacy of his election through just using an echo chamber of allegations from a number of sources, and hopefully believing that the public didn't understand that these were very low-level players that had nothing to do with what actually was going on in the Trump campaign. And, the real Trump campaign. They weren't in Trump's close circle of friends or associates there. But then you see that Halper, the alleged spy, did talk in August of 2016 to Sam Clovis, the campaign's national co-chairman. So was that an attempt to try to get closer to the top, you would ask? And now, again, there's allegations, new allegations, without any specifics, that there might have been more. inside the campaign? Because that's always been my question. Why were they focusing on two people that were nothing inside the campaign? Papadopoulos and Page did matter. They were nothing. They weren't in the upper rung of Trump's close associates. Like I said, you've got a banking scandal. Investigators talk to the tellers? No, they go to the bank presidents who know what's going on.
The people that can give them access.
Give them access, right. And it's like they've been talking to the tellers.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing to do with that. I have no idea. I just process people, individual customers who come in. Papadopoulos and Page were nothing in that investigation. And still to this day, that hasn't been made, I don't think, clear to the majority. Well, they talked to people in his campaign. Come on, how many people are part of a campaign?
If it was this setup, if it was done purely for political purposes, then there is, I think it's reasonable to say that you would go after those lower level operatives because it's easier to do so, because it gets you in, because it is the proverbial foot in the door. And then I guess we would have to find out from, you know, the IG report when it comes out, determine if that was the opening. You go in, you do that surveillance, you make it look like something is going on that isn't going on. Because one of the questions I have is, was the campaign set up? Were they being set up? Were these so-called meetings with Russian officials or whatever it might be, was all of that being created? Or is it fairly typical in any given situation? The Clintons had Russian ties. That's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fact. So if you put that on the headline above the fold this morning of the New York Times, for those under the age of 50, above the fold, see, newspapers used to be given. So make it at the top of the website page. Clintons have Russian ties. It's proven. Well, that seems ominous, does it not? When you write it that way. The point being, was any of this done just to, along with creating that echo chamber, to just bring up the suspicion and keep the suspicion going? It didn't matter, because the New York Magazine trying to make the point that, well, if they were planning this, the flaw in this theory of this spy being there for purely political purpose is that you would create this October surprise. No, that you would create, as Peter Strzok put it, an insurance policy.
Right.
That's where I would argue with them at the New York Magazine, and that is very clear. We know that insurance policy, he used those words for a reason. So my question is that what they were doing here? Create that insurance policy where if you need it, if the numbers turn on Hillary before the election, you use it. Well, they never turned on her before the election, but as we said, be careful of those numbers, because they can come back. If you live and die by those numbers, they can come back to burn you, and they did. So then in that case, they went on to use it as an insurance policy to try and discredit the election and the legitimacy of Donald Trump's presidency. So, I mean, seriously, when you look at how big potentially this thing is, you start pulling on any of these strings in this sweater, and my question is, how long is it going to go? How far does it go? Because if it was also the tone set by the previous administration, again, I think it's reasonable to say that those that have any considerable authority in any agency or bureaucracy along the way believe that this is acceptable behavior, believe that it's okay to do this, that you can use this to some political end.
Well, nobody knew a month ago or was even talking about the fact that there was a spy inside of the Trump campaign.
Right.
Is that why it's a drip, drip, drip? Is that why the FBI and the Department of Justice will do everything to hide anything from the House Intelligence Committee and will continue to do it? Because even now, where we've been told that this was a matter of national security, that
Halpern's
name couldn't come out.
Right.
is couldn't come out. This will affect our relationships with other intelligence agencies worldwide. Lives will be at stake. I haven't heard any of that.
Not since it was revealed.
Not since his name has been revealed. I haven't heard anybody say, okay, now you've really screwed up our national security. Nobody has said that.
No. In fact, the only thing you see is, oh, well, it was, part of the investigation. He was just simply an informant. He was not a spy.
Right.
Well, you can parse, you can try and split those proverbial hairs. But my question is, then if it's legitimate for legitimate purposes, not that we would have learned Halper's name long ago, when all these leaks that did not favor the administration, leaks that did not favor Trump were coming out, why wouldn't that be one of the first leaks that the FBI has very real information, that they're starting with this very real information? Because it jumped all over the place. The beginning and basis of this investigation moved. It's moved a number of times. And our question is, all right, then what is the beginning? Where is the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Why, who in any position of authority put Halper in that place, and what was he supposed to be doing?
Right, because then that will get you at least to maybe not the beginning of the investigation,
right,
but it could move the timeline of what we currently know.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, our audio cut of the day. It comes from Fox News over the weekend, and we know that after the horrible mass shooting in Texas on Friday, a lot of comments, and again, the gun control versus, non-gun control argument that continues out there. Jimmy Kimmel, again, on his show Friday night, lecturing America about gun control. Lawrence B. Jones from campusreform.org was on Fox News. Here's what he accused Jimmy Kimmel of.
Let me say something. I've never seen a better example of white privilege than Jimmy Kimmel. He's a rich white man that has security, but he doesn't want other Americans to have security as well, have the Second Amendment. Look, we've seen this happen where in communities where people look like me and Antoine, they have passed gun legislation, but it didn't work. So I'm going to tell you this. We've tried it your way. We've tried a deliberate way where they have gun control, and it did not help our communities. And so I'm not willing to disarm myself. One thing I will say is that I wish the left would be a little bit more honest. Can they just say they don't like the Second Amendment?
There you go. I've never seen a better example of white privilege than Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
There you go. I just...
Because if the left is going to do that,
why not?
Then certainly you can use it in this case. Here's a rich guy, very rich guy, who has the means to protect himself with guns, but says you're too stupid to do it and you don't have the right.
And we've often taken on the rich Hollywood elite,
mm-hmm,
who are the first ones to say that, and along with the liberal black leadership in this country, that are first ones to say that people in high crime areas and urban areas should not have access to guns, law-abiding citizens.
Right.
And as we've said all along, especially the white Hollywood elite, stating that, why not throw white privilege at them, as it seems Lawrence is doing, because mm-hmm, they're the ones that sit up in their castles, their gated communities, in their castles, with their moats, with their private armed security, and then tell you, as somebody who can't afford that, that you shouldn't have the same ability to protect yourself. Or not the same ability, because they have armed security, but you shouldn't have the ability to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I'm glad it was finally brought up.
Yeah.
So I think Lawrence should go on Jimmy Kimmel and tell Jimmy Kimmel that.
Yep. I'd love to see Mr. Kimmel respond to that. Because you can't.
His side uses it all the time. That's like one of my fantasies of happening. Like it would also be somebody going on every time somebody goes on with Chris Cuomo and says, you do fake news. You just see him just get so, I love that.
Yeah. I'd love to see
Kimmel do the same thing. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, you need a tuning solution? What's new from Bully Dog? Justin Burt from Bully Dog has the details.
So we've got a couple of turbos now. We've got a Stage 1 Detroit turbo for some of the guys out there running the Detroit power plants. It is a stock style, but it's non-wastegated. So you're going to build a little more boost, a little more quick in the RPM range. You're going to make that power a little sooner than you will with stock turbo. We've also got our CAT Stage 1 turbo, which is a 78-millimeter billet unit, and it also comes in a 132 exhaust housing that's been popular for some of our CAT guys. But we've also got this Stage 2 coming. Those should land in the warehouse sometime in the 1st of May and be ready to ship out in the weeks following. So that is also a 78-millimeter billet unit, but it actually has a 145 exhaust housing. So you're going to make a little more power. You're going to make a little less heat, and you're going to use a little bit less boost to make more power. So it's definitely a more efficient unit. We've been working on it for a while. We've listened to some of these guys out here making a little more power than stock, and this is that option for them. So the website, bigrig.bullydog.com. You can check out our Facebook page for applications and announcements for product support, and our Instagram as well.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So it's going to be interesting next couple of weeks. We'll see where the press and the rhetoric and the leaks go now with the outing of the spy inside of the Trump campaign. Yeah. You got the Inspector General's report, which should probably be released in the next, I'm going to guess, probably 2 to 3 weeks. I don't want to be Rudy Giuliani with my predictions, but that's what they have been saying in the next 2 to 3 weeks. That could come out, and that's on the Hillary Clinton investigation, the FBI and their role. This is investigating the FBI and the Department of Justice in the Hillary Clinton investigation, and to, as to whether they did their jobs or not. Already a couple of stories coming out saying that, and again, I don't know where they get their source stories from, that this thing is going to hit, you know, James Comey and others quite hard. But we have some interesting times coming up here.
Well, it will definitely be entertaining, and I think very important in American history.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.